Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life Forces podcast. So happy that you are here with us again, back here with me. I loved this week's episode. Was so excited as I was recording it. Yes, it's just so good. And it's a guest episode with my friend Kemi Minerbo, who is the host of the Blossom Experiment podcast. She's also a coach. She's amazing at marketing and so many other things, particularly connecting with one's intuition, which is something we talk about extensively on this episode. And we actually open the episode honoring how we're feeling in terms of what's going on in the world right now. We recorded on the 11th of October just for some more context. And we just had an honest conversation, especially Kemi shared her thoughts about navigating the heaviness and divisiveness right now from an authentic soul level place that honors our feelings and honors the humanity of everyone involved. I'll just leave it at that. And yeah, we talk about so many different things. We talk about life as a projector because Kemi is a projector. She's also a Taurus sun in astrology. We talk about breaking molds, you know, deconditioning, getting rid of all the programming that we got imprinted on us as children or earlier in life that doesn't serve us. We're also both 2-4 profiles or personalities in human design. So we talk about that and how it shows up for us. And yeah, this is just a really good episode to, you know, get into intuition, doing things from a soul level place that is good for you and your exploration in this lifetime. Kemi also has been traveling and living different places quite extensively for the past few years. So we get into that as well. And yeah, I super enjoyed this conversation, as I said, and I know you will too. And yeah, just let it all sink in. Remember that we're in eclipse season, right? We just had that solar eclipse in Libra on the 14th on Saturday. So energies are very heightened right now. You might feel exhausted. You might feel confused. And then that's only amplified with all of the things that are happening in the world right now. So do take care of yourself. Keep tending to you, especially over these next couple weeks ahead of the lunar eclipse in Taurus on the 28th of October. So do that. And also, if you're curious about all this astrology stuff, you can go back to the Q4 astrology episode, which I will link in the show notes. And yeah, just enjoy, just take this next hour and a bit to really absorb all the amazing things that Kemi has to say, because there's really nothing like a projector's wisdom, because they are truly the guides for us here on planet Earth. So with that, I love you and see you soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Life Forces podcast. I'm so happy to be here with my friend Kemi, who's a projector in human design, an amazing marketing whiz, intuitive whiz, everything. Not everything, but we can't be good at everything, but you're good at a lot of things. You share a lot of amazing wisdom. And we're definitely going to dive into a lot and talk a lot about Kemi's journey, especially when it comes to digital nomading, intuition, and other beautiful things like that. But talking before we started recording, we decided that we wanted to keep things real and address some things that are going on in the world right now. Just for some context, we're recording on October 11th. And if you've even half paid attention to what's going on in the world around this time, it's really heavy. And Kemi and I were speaking about how she has been navigating this time. And I would love for you to just share a little bit about what kind of insights have come to you and what practices you're doing to really take care of yourself right now.
Yeah, First of all, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so happy to be finally talking to you over on your podcast because we've recorded so many times over online. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really happy that we're starting off with this kind of real, raw parts of ourselves, because I think that in the world, like, there are big extremes, you know, and I feel like when we go into the extremes, we, willing or not, we're going into the extreme duality of the world, of what is right or wrong, what is good or bad, what is whatever. And I feel like sometimes when we are playing with spirituality, we tend to go to the extreme of nothing is happening, everything is light, everything is whatever, pink, and the unicorns are flying around. And then when you go to like the extreme depths of societal conditioning, conditioning, the way that people think in a conditioned way, I think that we go to another extreme duality and another extreme of like everything's evil, you know, people are evil, I don't believe in the good in humans and things like that. So I feel like recently, in recent days, I've honestly took a really, everything that's going on in the world took a really big toll on my mental health, my emotional well-being. I got really, really affected about with everything that's going on. Normally, I refrain from watching the news and things like that. You know, I try to keep a healthy boundary with myself about the things that I digest and that I put inside of me. But my soul has been feeling really called to learning more about what's going on. Also because I have some personal connections with whatever is going on in the world. So this is something that just really, really shook me. And I feel like above all that is happening, I feel like what shook me the most was the extreme duality and the extreme hatred that I saw on social media towards different humans. And the way that I try to see things, of course, I am a human being, so I have an ego. Of course, I'll be biased at some level. You know, it's impossible to pretend that I'm not going to pretend that I'm a monk here and be like, oh my God, the life, like, you know, I'm not that level anymore. I'm not at that level yet, or I don't know if I ever will be in this life, but I feel like I try to see things in a very unbiased, I feel like, non-duality way. I think this is the biggest thing. It's not even about bias, it's like non-duality way. So instead of seeing the things as good or bad or right, or it's like, or humans as good or bad or right or wrong, it's like, how can I see this from the perspective of my soul, from the perspective of my intuition? And I feel like that's how a lot of how I navigate the world. It's trying to drop into the, what I say, what I call soul self, the intuitive self, the highest version of myself, and how this part of me would navigate life, how this part of me would navigate whatever is happening in the world. What type of things would I share? What type of things would I create boundaries from? What type of thing, what actions I would take? And I feel like when you drop to a state of soul, there is so much unconditional love and not even empathy, because I'll say that empathy is still in a level of your, you know, crawling down into the pit with the whatever, whomever is there. But so much compassion that exists in the state of soul. The soul doesn't know labels. It doesn't know, this human deserves compassion, but this one doesn't that much. No. This it's kind of, nah, no. I don't care that much. Like, soul doesn't see things like that. And sometimes I feel, I guess, like in a delulu, you know, in a delusional kind of state of being of everyone is soul. And I really believe that every human being intrinsically is good, even the ones that are doing evil and unspeakable things. I feel like if you really strip them down to their souls, you know, there is something good about them in a way. But when I see things like that happening, when I see the extreme duality and the extreme hatred that has been going on in social media, it really hurts me in a mind level of like, how are we in 2023 and people are sharing this amount of hatred, like this amount of unconsciousness, you know, it's like this amount of lack of compassion, this lack of love. And I feel like, yesterday I recorded a podcast on a whim and I released it today. Normally, like today is Wednesday. Normally I release my episodes on Friday. I just thought that this would be important for anyone else who's out there that has this more compassionate approach and this more, I want to show up as my soul approach into life and in a more loving way. And they're feeling so confused and so lost and they have zero guidance right now to understand how they can navigate everything that's going on, either because of everything that's going on physically and you see it in the news and it's so heart shattering, but as also everything that's going on as a repercussion of that, as a reaction of that, in how social media is now super divisive. And I feel like this is a big, unfortunately, I don't know if there's like an astrological or whatever human design approach to that. I feel like there's so much divisiveness in the world going on recently. I think that we can talk about like the past 10 years or something like that, or even worse, in the past 5 years. And you know, like you kind of know that this is going on, but I think that when things like this happens, I feel like it becomes more real. And so I wanted to create this episode for anyone who is seeing everything that's going on from a reaction perspective and also from the physical reality of everything that's happening and being like, okay, why is this happening? Like in a spiritual perspective, first of all, like in an energetical level, why the fuck is this happening? I can't find a reason for that, but there's, you know, like there's so much faith that you have to have. Mm-hmm. And also, how can I show up as my best and most aligned and intuitive and soulful self within everything that's going on? And I feel like the word for me, non-duality and compassion, is key here. And something that I realized when I was recording was that even me from a compassionate level, I was still feeling hatred towards the extreme hatred. Because in the end, the people who are in extreme hatred, they are also just suffering. Everyone is suffering. Yeah. Every single human is suffering. When you realize that, it's so much easier because you understand that the suffering that you're feeling is the suffering that the other person is feeling, maybe in a different labeling of it, maybe in a kind of opposite way or whatever form is it, but they're still feeling the same feeling as you. Mm. We have to have so much compassion for that. You know, like it's really, really intense what's happening. We have to just drop into our souls and try to do our best, not from our egos, but from our souls. Like everyone has access to it, you know? And even me, like I, and I'm not saying that you have to be with the person that's making you feel bad or something like that. Like I have unfollowed a lot of people that I followed before because I, in a mind level, don't agree with them. I can have compassion for them, for my soul, but at the same and be understanding of that suffering, but I don't have to have it around me, you know? So I talk a lot about boundaries on this podcast, for example. And I also talk about the importance of processing your emotions, because if you are listening to this podcast, you probably are a very spiritual person and you probably believe in the concept of oneness, or you probably believe in the concept that we're all connected in an energetical way to one another. And I do believe that when you process some kind of emotion in your body, you know, energy in motion, you're also maybe, who knows, helping someone else in the other side of the world process their own suffering and their own pain. So I think that it's really important for us to see that we have an impact in the invisibleness of the world. We also have an impact not only on the physical, and we can feel so powerless in moments like this of like, I can't be there physically to help, but you have to trust your intuition in the way that you're being guided to create your own unique impact in the world, even if it's like in moments like this.
Yeah. 100%. I wish everyone could listen to what you just said. I truly feel so, you sharing this with me today and with all of us, I can say that I feel so connected to you and more connected to you. And just in general, it's been incredible getting to know you as a human and as a soul, but just to be able to share that vulnerably, because I also think sometimes for those of us more in the spiritual space, and I think you touched on this a little bit, there can be an avoidance of things that are going on in the world, political situations, all that stuff, you know, just like everything's love and light and blah, blah, blah. But to be able to speak to those things, but in a way that's true to you, is just really incredible. And honestly, I admire it. Like, yeah, I'm really just like floored. And I'm really glad that you felt comfortable to share this with all of us, right? Because I kind of just asked you before we started recording. So I so appreciate that. And talking a little more globally about, you know, what you contribute to this world, I think one of the things I've gotten to know about you and your work is you really focus so much on the soul and on intuition, which can be such big, vague kind of concepts, especially to those of us who might be a bit more new to this kind of language or this way of looking at the world. So do you want to talk a little bit about those concepts, how you've understood them over the course of your life? Anything that comes to mind, really?
Yeah. So I feel like throughout my entire life in my early 20s, the biggest thing that I feel like is the biggest thread in my life was that I had several different cookie cutters and different modes imposed onto me. So the first is like the societal one, right? Like you need to go to college, then you get a job, then you get married, then you have kids, and that's your happy life right there for you. Eat it. And I feel like after that, I was also in, I kind of ended up going to a very extreme spirituality kind of work, like extreme spiritual work in a company that was really, really nice. But at the same time, I got exposed to the extreme of spirituality, which was really important because now I can do the work that I do, which is like really balanced. But at the same time, I feel like in this extreme of spirituality, there were the other types of cookie cutters and modes that were imposed. And basically, what all of them did was that they took out the sovereignty from me. And instead of me trusting my intuition, they kept pulling this power out of myself and kind of like as if I was had to outsource my intuition onto these people. So it was as if everyone in the external always knew what was best for me. Even the spiritual people, their intuitions, quote unquote, were higher or were more connected to the divine, quote, I'm doing quote unquote for anyone that's not watching, because I don't believe in that at all. And, you know, like all of those gurus and things like that. So these people that always, quote unquote, know better than you what is the answer for your life. And then, of course, on the other hand, there's the societal pressure of, no, Camille, you can't go and travel around the world because it doesn't exist. Just shut up and do your job and like just do whatever I'm telling you that you should do because I know how you find happiness. And I feel like since a young kid, I was very kind of like reflective and philosophical. I remember that when I was, I don't know, 16, 15, we were having these weeks of tests in school, like that we, I don't know how it was for you, but we had like 2 weeks of only tests for like science, everything, all the subjects. And I remember that I couldn't focus and I called my friend one day crying, 15. Okay, I was 15, 16, something like that. I was crying. I was like, I don't know if I'm living it right. Because there was this song from John Mayer that's called Why Georgia that he sings, am I living it right? And I was like, am I living it right? What is it to live right? What is it to live wrong? Like, I've always had this kind of existential thoughts in my head. And I kept thinking of, like, to myself, like, what is it to live right? I always had this question in my head. I don't know why. Like, I was obsessed with this question. Mm-hmm. And So I think I kept trying to find the answers on the external a lot until a certain point, I think like I would say 2019, where I was really rock bottomed by the universe and in which I thought it was the beginning of my Saturn return, and we both discovered it together that it wasn't. It was just a rock bottom.
Life, just regular life stuff, not Saturn return life stuff. Not yet.
That wasn't it. I'm scared. So in 2019, I had this major rock bottom. And I think that all of my external answers were stripped away. And I found myself alone in Bali. And I was like, okay, I guess the only thing that I have now is myself. So I guess I might as well start listening to myself and my intuition. And I feel like that's when I say that I started traveling with my intuition, that I started making decisions from this place, from my soul. I started just living in a way that's more in alignment with the intuition, with surrendering, with trusting life, trusting the universe and all of this type of thing. So yeah, I would say that that was a little bit of when it started. And for me, ultimately, the way that I explain intuition changes a lot, because I don't think that intuition, for me specifically, not saying that for everyone, that should be the concept. For me, intuition is not just the hint of intuition that you receive, like not just that little voice that you get. For me, intuition is almost like the voice of the soul. It's like what bridges this world with the spiritual world, but it's all the like unknown or whatever. But it's really when you embody an intuitive life, or embodying a life that is your highest and most aligned life. You know, it's the life that your soul came on earth to live. So I feel like, yeah, intuition for me, it's a little bit deeper than just like, the intuitive hint.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love how you talked about getting answers from the outside world, and how as much as other people might even have the best of intentions for you, it's just not the same as listening to your own inner voice, your intuition, whatever you want to call it. And that's something that I am very much on the same page with you about, because, you know, yes, I've studied astrology and human design, and I'm able to tell people things about them with that information. But I always say, no matter what I say to you, no matter what I teach you about yourself, you are always the ultimate authority on everything, period. I don't know you better than you know you yourself, you know, like I just don't. It's never, ever going to happen. And I think we all need to give ourselves more credit for the wisdom that we truly have about ourselves. And so that's what I love that aspect of what you just described to us. And so I definitely want to talk about the fact that you're a projector, and I want to talk about human design, because you and I have been totally geeking out lately, like just completely. Kemi is going through this human design course that I did live a while ago, but she's just kind of, I haven't really told you this, but you're kind of like testing it out for me. Talk about that later. But anyway, but Kemi's been learning about human design before that, just to say. But we actually have some similarities in our chart, which I love. So Kemi's a projector and I'm a generator. Those are very different energy types. There's 5 energy types, but we are both 2-4 profiles. And so I love talking about that. Let's just kind of stick with the basics and the projector stuff. So, because I know we both wanted to talk about that today. Do you remember when you first learned that you were a projector, and what was that like? How did that feel? Mm-hmm. How did that unfold for you?
Yeah. To be honest, it felt very disempowering. Like I felt really, I remember that I felt really, my ego felt really happy that I was, you know, a good guide and a good kind of, because projectors are like really good guides. They're really good guides. I'm not saying guys. Okay. Guide. And they're very good like mentors and people who lead, and, you know, they have like this bird's eye views of everything, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I felt really happy about that. But when I saw that first, they weren't energetic types, and I didn't have consistent access to energy, I was like, this also makes a lot of sense, but this is shit. And then when I saw that I had to wait for an invitation, one of the most impatient person in the world, I was like, nah, this is shit. This is shit. No, I'm not. No, sorry, no. And I felt really, at the start, it felt really disempowering, because I was like, oh yeah, so you're telling me that I can't work more than 4 hours per day. And you're also telling me that I can't reach out to people. Okay, This is shit. You're not going to put me in a box, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was my first reaction to it. And then I came around to it like a second time or something like that. And then I looked at it with another pair of eyes and it started, and it actually made me feel more free because it allowed me to, it almost gave me the permission slip to be myself, you know? So instead of feeling trapped in this box, I actually liberated myself from the conditioning of the box. So it's like, it's not, if I don't have access to more than 4 hours per day of energy, which I think it's kind of nuanced, but whatever, we can talk about it later.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. You know, I think that the feeling imprisoned was more out of a conditioning of thinking that this is what's needed to make it work than anything else. I'll still say that I have some challenges with the whole being invited thing, but I've also seen in my life that when I do try to do like cold callings, or when I try to do cold outreach, or just like butt in people's you know, stuff, and they're not inviting me, or not even like a, you know, I think invitation comes in different forms and we can talk about that as well. But yeah, like when there's no real space for it to land and you can feel it energetically, it just, it's icky. I hate it. Like, I feel like I drained all of my energy in just that one cold outreach. I feel weird. I feel like I really don't like it, and I've never liked it. So it's not like I found out that I was a projector, then I started not liking it. I already disliked it, you know? So, but yeah, it was a mixture, to be honest.
Yeah. I think that's so normal, like such a normal reaction to finding out one's human design. When I found out I was a generator, I'm like, that's so fucking boring. Like, you're telling me, like you're telling me 70% of the population is either a generator or a manifesting generator. Excuse me, I'm so much more special than that. Like, how do you-
that's so Aquarian of you. I need to be special and different. No. I want to be the 1%. The 3% reflector, please give me that.
Literally me with my Aquarius rising. Do you have Aquarius in your chart? I'm totally spacing out on that.
No, like no, none of the big three, no.
But you just get it. She just gets it, yeah.
I get it, like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm still laughing about that. Call me out, okay? Call me on my own podcast, why don't you? yeah, but there is this initial like kind of unease. Maybe some people automatically feel really like seen by it and they're like, yeah, that's what I am. Totally. Thank you for telling me wherever I'm looking at my chart or whoever is doing a reading for me. But yeah, it's interesting when there's resistance. And I think that's maybe bringing up our own kind of insecurities, which reminds me of something that you've said, I guess maybe more in private, about you being the only projector in your family. I think I have that correct.
That's not like a thing that I know for sure because I've never done my parents' one. But if they are projectors, I'm sorry, they are really bad projectors. Like, I don't know how they're living. I don't know how they're living because they work like 12 hours per day and they've had work. They've been working 12 hours per day like for 30, 40 years. So
yeah. So if they're not generators or manifesting generators, it's kind of a miracle they're still doing their things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess so you could for sure can compare your experience of your energy to your siblings, right? Because they are definitely
they're both generators.
Did that put a lot of things in perspective for you when you think about like how you interact with them or like how your childhood was and things like that?
It's funny because when I was a kid, like the biggest thing So when I was a kid, the biggest thing that people would say was that, and I'm also a Taurus for context. So people, like, I would be very lazy, quote unquote. Like, I loved just, you know, eating and hanging out and watching TV. And, like, I would like to play and things like that. But I preferred the, like, cozy, pretty, just, like, comfort things, you know. I didn't really like the extreme anything.
Yeah.
And I remember that I have always struggled with sleep because like I can sleep for 12 hours. Like today, I was late because I slept in, like, of course. And wow. I slept for like, don't say yeah. sorry. Thank you so much for accepting me.
Yeah, please.
But like I slept for like 10 hours and I still woke and I was like laying in bed and thinking like, oh my God, this is just the best thing ever. Like, I don't know what in the world exists that's better than just laying in bed. Like, you know, like when you just woke up and everything yeah. still has the shape of your body and you're like, every day I do that. And I feel so grateful. I feel like the gratitude of the world of like, oh my God, I love bed. I love sleeping. I just love the comfort of it. And so I really have a hard time waking up. It's always been like this since I was a kid. And when I was younger, we had to go to school at like, I don't know, 6:30, you know, a.m. And my dad, he used to drive us. So everyone had to be like I remember that everyone had to be in the at the door at 6:50, I think, or 6:40 or something like that. I was always late. It was like a known thing that Camille is always going to be the one that's late. I would wake up and my sister was always like the one that was on time. My brother would wake up, put his uniform, go back to sleep. He would wake up like 1 minute before 6:40 and he would be there. That's my brother.
Love it.
And I would always be the one that's late, that had to meet my dad like on the streets with the car, like with, you know, like rushing with my backpack and with trying to eat food and everything. And I knew that this is a thing in my family. Like, I'm always the one that's late. I'm always the one that takes so much time, that needs the sleep. They know that if it's something, it's going to be set for like the morning, forget about me, or like I'll be late as well. So yeah, whenever like I saw the projector thing, I really, and I compared it with my brother and my sister, I thought about like my sleeping patterns and how much I would normally need more sleep than them. So that's one thing.
I love that. I love the retelling of all that. Yeah, I was also late as a child going to school. It's like a running thing in my family. Like, I am much more respectful of people's time now, but it's just, that was also my reputation. So I see you, Kemi, and I feel you. Like, we just need our time. And also, like, I feel like I daydream so much in the morning too. I think, I don't want to say everyone does, but whatever, I do. You probably do too. We're just kind of in our own little world. I have no idea what it is, but yeah, for you, loving sleep and the way you talk about sleep makes me so happy to hear as a projector, because sometimes, you know, I'll see on your Instagram stories, you're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, I know I should rest. Da-da. I'm like, Kemi, take a little breaky. You're allowed to have a nap, or you're allowed to not do all the things you're doing for 5 minutes. Okay. But just in contrast, because you talked about how luxuriously you woke up this morning with, you know, 10 hours of sleep, whatever. In contrast, so I actually went out on a Tuesday, which I never do. If anyone listening to this knows me personally, that is not something Bianca of 2023 is normally going to do. But my friend was like, hey, I'm coming to town. Do you want to meet up just for a little bit? And I could feel my sacral, which is, you know, what makes me a generator and what is my, where I'm supposed to make decisions from, which is really just this like gut yes or no. I could feel my sacral just be like, yep, we're doing it. Brain was like, Bianca, it's 11. You have, or like 9 p.m. at that point, you have stuff to do tomorrow, like go to bed. But my sacral was just like, no, we're going, getting dressed. Let's do it.
I love it.
And, you know, so I went to bed obviously later than normal. And I also like woke up earlier than I needed to today. And my mind was definitely playing games with me at first. My mind, especially this morning, was like, you're tired because you only slept 6 hours. And I'm like, shh. And then I'm like, no, but I'm excited because I'm doing this today. I'm interviewing Kemi. It's going to be good. And I could just like feel my energy like revving up again. And that is probably not going to work for you so much, you know, being like a non-sacral person. Again, like misconception, like non-sacral people. So if you don't have your sacral center colored in on your human design chart, so if you're a reflector, manifestor, projector, doesn't mean you never have energy or you're like lazy or you don't do anything or da da da. No, it just means that it comes to you in a way that's not so consistent, or you need to like understand your energy patterns in a more nuanced way, maybe, than your manifesting generator friend or whatever, you know? That it just is what it is, you know? I would love, one thing I wanted to ask you like really specifically is, how do you, or how have you come to learn a better approach to like structuring your everyday life, knowing that you're a projector and you have emotional authority, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe being a bit more sensey than others, you know, you're a very intuitive person, right? So how do you go about just in daily life flowing in a way that works for you?
Yeah, one thing that I want to comment on the energy center is that I've been that like while I was doing your course, which is amazing, not that you're offering it, but if you ever do, anyone that's listening, it's
we're gonna talk about that tomorrow, Kemi.
Sorry, spilling the spoilers. But one thing that I you kind of debunked for me while during the course when you were talking about energy centers, that when you have an open center, you absorb other people's energies and you amplify them. And that is something that I resonate with so much, and I can understand better what's happening in my day to day while this is with this, because I feel like, although like if I would do what you did and I would go to sleep, wake up 6 hours later, I would probably be dead. And if I'm not meeting anyone else, then that day would be kind of like hard to swallow, hard to move through and everything.
Yeah.
If I have a podcast recording with you, for example, I will feel more energized just from talking to you because I have an open center and I'm like absorbing your energy, not in a bad way that I'm like draining Bianca's energy, but like I'm absorbing it and I'm amplifying it. So then for the rest of my day, I kind of like still can go off of this energy and feel quite buzzed even like during the evening. So I feel like my energy goes in waves and I can kind of see how that happens. But I will say that, for example, if I am sometimes like I used to do that, you know, sometimes I still do, like if I go out on a Friday and I'm around people, I sometimes will be like the most energized there, you know, and I'm like hype everyone up and everything. And I'm a projector. Like I'm a non-energy type, but I'll absorb everyone's energy. I'll get really excited about the music and about dancing. And I'm a 2-4. So I love being around people a lot and I'm very extroverted and things like that. So I'll get a lot of energy from it. I'll amplify it. I'll make everyone get really pumped and energized and hyped, and then I'll go back home and sometimes I'll still be like like buzzing and like having to kind of take it, kind of, you know, take the energy out of me to kind of being my own energy. But then if I really have some days like this, normally the next day I'm kind of like dead, you know. I'm kind of like really needing to be on my hermit type of chill day and really being with my energy and kind of recomposing myself. I don't know. So it's really interesting that I've started to understand that if I'm alone in a day that I'm really, really tired, that day will be kind of really low energy. But if I end up meeting someone else, or if I have a call or something like that, which I love doing, so I love putting like calls. I hate having calls on Monday. So I tend to like not schedule anything in on Monday because I just notice for my own energy levels and for my own life. And note for anyone listening, I've been working remotely for 6-7 years. So either I had remote jobs for the past 6-7 years, or I've worked for myself as a freelance for this amount of years. So I had the I wouldn't say the privilege because it's something that I worked for, but I had the privilege, let's say, of having more space to figure out how to structure my weeks and my days. So mm-hmm. I noticed that for me, Monday is a day that I'm kind of like getting out of Sunday, which Sunday for me, I don't know for you, for me, Sunday is a day that I normally dissociate. I don't know what happens on Sundays. Like I completely forget who I am. I forget what I do. I forget like everything that I love doing. I just go into this weird zone of like, what day is today? I don't know what's happening. Or like this, I get very ungrounded, not in a bad way, but I just like really allow myself to remove myself from whatever the world. Yeah. So I do you feel that? Or is it just me?
I don't know if I would say the same. I love that you're sharing that. And I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. You know, it's good to forget yourself sometimes in a way, right? Like a little, just a little bit of like ego disillusion one day a week, just as a treat, you know what I mean? But then I can understand how, you want to like ease into the week on Monday and not just be like, okay, on Sunday, I'm nothing, but also everything and question mark, what is happening? And then Monday you're like, time to girl boss. Let's do this. Let's go. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. So I learned that like on Sunday, I really have to just give myself the time to, cause like sometimes I have these multi personalities in my head. And sometimes on Sunday, I allow one of them to show up. And sometimes this personality will be like, can we just go and live under a rock and like disappear from the world? You know? Yeah. So I allow myself to kind of like have that personality, or even, I don't know, the other personality of like, oh my God, fuck. Normally on a Sunday, I'm just like, I don't want to do anything. You know, I just want to like do nothing forever. And then it's forever, really. So when Monday comes, I'm like, oh, I can't believe that I actually have to do stuff. And so I really allow myself to like ease into the week and everything. So I don't book any calls there and I allow myself to be more in my energy. But then I really love having calls throughout the rest of the week, either being like a coaching call or a podcast recording or something, or even meeting a friend for coffee or something like that, because I know that will kind of like give me energy. And I know that in theory, like it's important to know to keep yourself also in your energy, but this is just a way that I found that really works for me. And so this is kind of like the projector thing. And one thing that I realized that I noticed is that if I have, because that will happen sometimes, I'll pretend that I'm a generator. So I'll have either days that I'm like working a lot of hours, or I have days that I'm working a lot of hours, or I have like weeks that I'm working a lot. I know that, as we say in Brazil, there's an expression like that the bill will arrive. And at some point, like, I know I'll have a crash. Yeah. So if I'm really good at like paying attention and I'm either working less during the days, or I'm kind of like structuring baby waves, you know, instead of like a big wave of working, then like a crash of not working at all, like it can be quite consistent, quote unquote, like with smaller waves. But if I'm not aware of it, then, oh, bless you. If I'm not aware of it, it will just go like up. I'll work a lot and then I'll crash.
Crash. Yeah. That all makes a lot of sense with what you're saying, and like other projectors that I know in my life. It's really about understanding, anticipating when you need a good break, and being realistic about the amount of energy that you currently have, that you think you're going to have, whatever it is, and just being really honest about that. And I like how you also spoke about this feeling of being energized by being in other people's auras, like especially generator, manifesting generators that have that sacral life force, workforce energy that like motivates you, right? Because I think also as a projector, if you're having a day where you're not feeling motivated and you feel like you have no energy, literally go for a walk outside. It's not even about like talking to a specific person or finding out if someone is specifically whatever type. Like 70% of the world are generators and manifesting generators. So if you go for a walk outside and there's a few people there, you know, like you'll pick up on it. Even if you just will, just period. That's how it works. But I want to talk about your profile in human design, which is 2-4, also like me. And just to clarify for everyone listening, when you look up your human design chart, which you can literally just Google human design chart and find somewhere, your profile is consists of two numbers. It's usually like one number slash the second number. And it kind of tells you a bit more about your personality and how you're meant to show up a bit more specifically. So Kemi and I are both 2-4s. The 2 is the hermit, also sometimes referred to as the natural. And the 4 is the opportunist, which is also called the like people person. You know, it's this very like social energy. So yeah, as I'm describing this, you might, whoever's listening, pick up that these energies are a bit in opposition, right? Because it's like, hermit, I need my alone time. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. I'm studying my weird stuff. I'm thinking my weird thoughts, getting downloads, whatever it is. And then this other very significant part of us is like, I need to be around people, or like, that's something because we have it as our second number, it's kind of a more unconscious energy. So I don't know about you, but for me, it's something that I've like fully understood that's important, because sometimes I get too in like hyper independent mode. And then other times I'm like, obviously I need people. And 99% of the opportunities I've gotten in my life is through other people, or like, hey, Bianca, help me with this. Or like, you should do that, or whatever it is. So I'm wondering how you navigate all of that.
Yeah, you just gave me a light bulb moment.
Ooh.
But no, yeah, because first of all, it's really weird for me, because I specifically had a lot of conditioning with the hermit. So for me, it was more unconscious than the 4, because since I was really young, for me, I've always had like nice group of friends. I've never been like a person to fight with, like have fights with my friends. I've always been really like a balanced friend. I don't know. I've never had like went to the extreme of like the mean girls, or the extreme of like the, I don't know, really alone people, you know? So I was always like, average friend person. I don't know, always had friends, always had really an easy time making friends. It was never something that for me was a struggle, you know. I've always had nice friendships. I've always been really able to cultivate them, and I just love people. I love being around people. And I had never been alone until 2019, because I've always had like I had a long-term relationship with a guy for like with my ex for 6 years, and before that I was in a relationship for 2 years. So I had been in relationships for like 8 years at that point, like in 2019. So had never had time to really be alone, and I was always really afraid of being alone. I had never traveled alone. I had never taken the car like on a drive a long drive alone, like, yeah. Of course, you know, the car. So for me, it was the part of me that was the most, I was like, I'm not a hermit. Like, I don't want this, you know? I was like, meh.
Yeah.
However, once I started, I feel like since 2019, in which was a moment in which I really started diving deeper into my intuition and my authentic self, my authentic way of doing things and everything, I started noticing kind of like a pattern of the way that I like to explain it. It's like when the wave is going to crash on the shore, first it recedes and it goes inside, and then it has a wave and then it crashes on the shore. So I feel like the hermit's opportunist is a little bit like that, at least in my experience. It's like, before I share anything with the world, which would be crashing on the shore, I have to recede and I have to go inside and I process everything inside. It doesn't have to be for weeks or months, or like going to a Vipassana retreat. Sometimes it's hours or days. and I kind of like regroup and I download and I like understand things, and then I share things with them, you know, and then I share with people, and then I go back into the world, and then I come back again, and then I go to the, like, I go back inside of myself, and then I go on outside on the world again. And I feel like, for example, what's happening in the world recently was very much like that. Like, at some point I had to kind of like recoup and go inside of myself for 2 or 3 days. It wasn't for a whole week or whatever. And then I could had the insight to share these things on my podcast, you know, or like here or something like that. If I hadn't take time for myself, I know that things would be more confusing and I wouldn't be able to express things in such a structured and maybe clear way. So yeah. I've noticed that for my communication to be better or my insights to kind of download, I have to really do the wave thing, like recede and then share. And yeah. I'll also say that one thing that with your course, it's also something that I'm starting to realize in my life, kind of like doing the pattern thing, you know, kind of, it's true, which is, it's true that my opportunities, they normally come from people that I know, either people that I know physically or like Facebook groups, you know. Yeah. It's always some sort of community, quote unquote, aspect. And even traveling, wherever I go in the world, I've also realized that some of them, the majority has been hinted by people that I know. So it's never like something that I'm picking out of nowhere.
Yeah, out of thin air. Totally. One thing that, as I've been, you know, learning more and more about human design, one kind of perspective on the four energy, on that like people, person, opportunist, is like it's not just, you know, everyone is right for us. There has to be some discernment about like, is this the right friend for me? Should I work with these people? Does it make sense to have this partner? Should I be part of this community? There's like a discernment and almost like very specific curation, I think, of the people in your life. And that's something that I've definitely gone through, like in my Saturn return and everything. And, you know, now in my early 30s. And I think that is such a crucial part of it, because I think because we love people and, you know, we're curious people, whatever, we could fall into the trap of like thinking that, you know, every person is meant to be this kind of relation to us, or, you know, anyone that proposes something to us, we should say yes. You know, it's like I think there is this big emphasis, or should be a big emphasis, on finding out who is actually right for you and trusting that and not judging yourself for that. It doesn't mean you're unkind to people that you don't really want to be friends with or don't want to work with, but to just be like, you know what? Something's kind of off. That person is not for me. Or, you know, this person is, I think we're going to just stick with the acquaintance realm of things, and or whatever it is, right? Like, I've really been feeling into that lately and understanding that more.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like that for me is a little bit of a challenge, because I am a little bit of a people pleaser and I just love people. And I'm like, I love humans. Every human's good, like, and everything. My friends, they tell me that I have a friend of mine that she's always like, Camille, you're way too naive. You're way too naive. People take they take advantage of you and everything.
Yeah.
But I know that I am really connected to my intuition, and I'm really connected to my emotional intuition, which is my authority. So I really allow myself, even if people think that I'm being taken advantage of, if I haven't felt the clarity of I can't have this person in my life right now, I won't act on it, because maybe there are still things that I need to learn from that person. So I will allow myself to ride the emotional wave with whatever person there is for months, until I reach a point of clarity and be like, okay, this is it, now it's over. And then when I reach the point of clarity, it's like done, you know. It's I will easily make a decision from my intuition once I receive clarity. If I haven't received clarity, I will ride the wave. People will think that I'm being taken advantage of. People think that I'm stupid or, I don't know, getting stuck somewhere. But that's just how I've noticed that I work. And I still need to understand a few things, gain some other knowledge, gain some understanding from being in relationship with that person or something like that. But yeah, I think it's really important to kind of follow your intuition on that. I really believe that, honestly, I feel like if you are doing things according to your authority, according to your intuition, I feel like your life gets so much easier because you just know that you're making the right, I won't even say right, I'll say the most aligned decision for you at every given moment. And what's frustrating, I feel like, at least for every intuition, that must be the case. But I feel like what's kind of frustrating for the emotional intuition sometimes is that you have to ride a certain wave. I know that in general, people say like, ride it for at least 24 hours. Sometimes it will take me months or weeks to find clarity in a decision, either because my mind is clouding up the judgment and it's like the conditioning is just not allowing me to see it clearly, or because the emotions are too conflicting. And I know for the life of me, and I had this recently happen to me, because I was just going to tell this story quickly, because I had this friend of mine that invited me and another friend that lives here to go visit her in Valencia. And at the time that we were buying the plane tickets, we could either buy a plane ticket, like a return ticket for the 29th for like 50 or 60 euros cheaper by Ryanair. It's like 5 a.m., you know, like in the fucking end of the world. Or we can buy it for like 140 in like on the next day for like an okay time and everything. And I was like, man, I don't know if I want to spend 140 just on a plane ticket back, you know, like I think I'd rather just go for the adventure, take Ryanair again, like who cares, whatever. But I was still feeling in my body like, don't make this decision yet. Don't make this decision yet. Like, take it through your emotional authority. Feel it out at least one day, which one you prefer. But I felt kind of like pressured by this other friend of mine because she's more like logical. She's a generator. She also wanted to do things more like quick and more practical. Maybe she's a sacro. I don't know what she's a sacro, actually. I've done her human design. So she was more like, yeah, no, let's do it. No, like, let's decide it now. And I was like, I don't want you, but I was like, okay, whatever. Let's just take this. The moment we bought the plane ticket, like it took me 10 minutes later, I was already regarding it. I was like, what the fuck is this? To the point that now, like this was, I don't know, two weeks ago, our friend just messaged us saying that she can't host us anymore in Valencia. So I don't know what we're going to do with this plane ticket. Either we'll have to go and get a room somewhere and pay like more money to be there, or I don't know what we're going to do. And yesterday my friend called me and I was like, this time I was like, I need to sleep on it. I cannot make this decision right now. I don't even have to think about it. I have to feel about it because I don't know how I feel about spending 200 euros for 4 days to sleep in Valencia, which is a city that I've never wanted to go in the first place. You know, I was only going for the friend. So now I'm like, also navigating kind of like, okay, universe, what are you playing? Like, what is this? Because I know that this is a test in some way. So I'm trying to kind of like read the energetics of that while also leaning to my emotional intuition, understanding what is it that is the most aligned for me. You know, is it the dropping the plane ticket and not going at all and being like okay with throwing 80 euros out of the window? Or is it going through the, I don't want to spend the money, quote unquote, and then going through that and being like, no, I can spend the money. But to be honest, like, it doesn't feel that good to spend this money on this. So this is really interesting, I think, because I feel like a lot of people, when we are like in spirituality, we start learning about manifestation and things like that. And we're like, the moment you jump off the cliffs and you're like spending the money, even if you don't have it, or even if you do have it, but you're spending it, you're showing and signaling the universe that you can receive more. And for me, I feel like if you're spending it from the conditioned self and not from the soul self, you know, not from your intuition, your alignment, it's not going to be like a good use of your money. So, like this is what I'm now trying to kind of like sink into, but I'm like, don't even force me, honey. Like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I am not going to get out of my emotional authority because I did it the first time and I regret it profusely. So,
yeah, that's such a great, like, real life example. Like, you know, just a more everyday thing, not like, what should I do with my life or where should I move or whatever? Just like, okay, this little trip that we were supposed to do, like, what's happening? How am I navigating it? I absolutely love that. And I love that you illustrated the difference between your emotional authority, which definitely needs more time than a sacral authority. The sacral authority is really just like, it's a yes or no. It's more or less immediate. So your friend was probably like, come on, Kemi, Ryanair.
Yeah.
Duh. And you're like, you know, it wasn't the right time for you. And what else did I want to say about that? I am blanking and that is okay. What else did I want to say? Yeah, but it's just interesting how honoring your intuition can sometimes be like uncomfortable and really like challenges you. Like, okay, the world wants you to decide at this moment or tomorrow, but you might need to take your time. And I like how also you explain the nuances of emotional authority. It's like a lot of people say, yeah, like you should wait at least 24 hours. But I like that you understand your emotional waves, like you've come to observe them and see that, oh, sometimes it's like quite immediate. Ish, you know, it's like a day or two. And sometimes the process unfolds over weeks or months or whatever it is. And that is so cool that you've seen that in yourself and you are doing your best to honor that. One huge thing I wanted to say, which is I loved the metaphor of the wave, like talking about the 2-4 kind of stuff. Wow, that's like so brilliant. And it's cool because when you were speaking about like needing to kind of recede and get back into your own like proverbial cave to really like gain clarity so that you can speak to other people in a way that's very direct, I was looking at your chart, your human design chart, really briefly before we started chatting, and your conscious sun, which is like the most important gate or gift you have,
talk about that.
Yeah, is clarity and is connected. It's in your throat, your throat energy center in human design, which is about communication and all that. And your a Taurus in astrology, which also has to do with the throat chakra and communicating in this very grounded way. So that's just so beautiful that. I feel that you're really good at that. I feel that you are like shining that conscious sun energy of like, I'm not going to say things unless I feel like I'm clear about them and unless I can communicate them to you in a very direct way, not like with all this flowery language or not with like, oh, I'm confused, but I'm going to pretend I know what I'm talking about or pretend I know how I feel about this. You're just like, guys, had my hermit time. That was fun. I'm back to tell you. This is what I'm feeling right now. This is how it's going. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the thing is that like the thing that I really love about human design is the deconditioning part. And I feel like I think I started noticing these patterns because ultimately I believe that human design is something that it's just an external representation of something that is already be happening inside of you once if you really are committed to following your intuition in whatever way that you found works for you. So I feel like if you connect to your soul and you connect your intuition in some way, even if you don't know what type of intuition you are, but you are guided in some way and you start living by this kind of internal bodily inner self, you will end up aligning with your human design, with your astrology, whatever it is, and you end up deconditioning from all of the external limiting beliefs of how you should be showing up in the world. So this is something that I started kind of noticing, these patterns of like, interesting. Sometimes I feel like I really need to be inside. And then when I am inside, normally I gather insights to kind of like share whatever I've found while I was in hermit mode, or like the thing with like the emotion, you know, like my intuition has always been very bodily, and I've always felt it very much in my body. I remember that there's this woman that I'm really, really inspired by, but her intuition, I'm sure she's a sacral authority. I know she's a manifesting generator, so I know that she can be a sacral authority. I don't know which one is for sure, but her way to connect her intuition, it started off as asking yes or no questions, and she always got the answers.
Yeah,
so
that's
when I learned about sacral, exactly, I tried to do that. I was like, yes, I was like, I don't get it. Like, so that for me never worked. So, so then I realized that this is why it never worked. So the way that I connected to my intuition was more, was always way more abstract and kind of like energetically and emotional. But I didn't know that. I didn't know how to explain it, and I didn't know how to share with people like, this is what you should do to connect your intuition. So because I know that my intuition doesn't work the same as everyone else's. So. The reason that I'm saying that is that I feel like once you start connecting to your intuition, you will end up kind of touching on different aspects of your human design or your astrology or something like that.
Yeah.
However, it wasn't until recently that I learned about the most important gift, and I read about it and everything, that I started to allow myself to not share, because I feel like in the job that I have, which is, you know, being a podcaster, creating content and everything like that, I always feel this pressure, the conditioning, quote unquote, of sharing every day. I need to post every day. I need to share something every day, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes I'll just be blank. Like, I'll just be in complete void. Like, I know that I could force myself to share something, but is it really going to land with people? And I've been doing like trial and error, quote unquote, and I've been seeing that when I share with intention, like when I share from a place of this is the clarity, it's simple, this is it, normally it lands more with more people, and it impacts people in a deeper way than when I share it just because I'm forcing myself to share it because of the conditioning of I should share it. And I'm also inconsistent in human design. I only have the manifestation arrow to the right. So because of that, I'm also allowing myself to be inconsistent, to show up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it sounds flaky, but like to create inconsistently, you know, because having to trust and have faith that the energy of whatever I'm going to put out inconsistently will be stronger and more impactful than whatever energy would be generated from me showing up consistently, you know, and creating consistently. So it is something that I'm kind of like trialing out more now, but I'll say that it's not something that I have always been the case. It's something that I started because of the conditioning of marketing, how I should show up, and yeah, everything.
Yeah, things like that. The cookie cutter like marketing strategies, right? I am also passive brain or inconsistent in human design, which is if you look at your chart and if you see the arrows at the top left arrow, if it's pointing to the left, you have what's known as active brain and you're more a consistent person. If it's pointing to the right, you have passive brain and you're a little less consistent. One is not better than the other. Like, let's just make that abundantly clear. It's just you operate a bit differently. But I've noticed, and also because I'm a 2-4, and this is a bit of a 2-4 thing too, I'll explain. As 2-4 people, it is actually good for us to hide, right? Because we need to hide sometimes so that we're called out by the people that are right for us. So if that's as simple as not posting on days where it's just not the vibe, especially for us as, you know, inconsistent 2-4s, definitely don't do it. You know what I mean? Do not. Like, because it's interesting. A lot of times in my business, it's the times where I haven't been posting or I haven't been showing up as much as I quote unquote should, that people reach out. And I don't know if you've also found that, but yeah, you're already experimenting with it, but just to notice like that aspect of it too. Speaking of which, I want to talk a bit more about your business, because I feel like we've hardly touched on it, just to kind of like, you know, wrap things up a little, like not to rush you or anything, but, you know, just to be mindful of your time and my time and everyone's time. Tell us a little bit about what you do. And I would especially love to hear more about your new one-on-one coaching situation, because I think it's like really brilliant. And I think you're like tapping into something quite awesome. So tell us.
That you're a part of, by the way. I'm always excited.
Yeah.
Always excited about our calls.
Yeah. But
yeah, of course. So I feel like, and that is something that is really cool, because then I'll tap into a little bit of how the invitation of the projector. And I think that that's for any projectors listening. This is really interesting to see how an invitation can come that might be different from just like, I'm inviting you to come to this, you know, like, or can I have your opinion on X or something like that. So it can come in different ways. And I think that that is one thing that I'm starting to realize about being a projector. So what I feel like the entire purpose of my business, of the Blossom Experiment, as a podcast, as a website, as a coaching program, as whatever, it's always to connect people back to their intuitions, back to their sovereignties, so they can manifest the desires from their soul. Not from the ego, not from the mind, but it's really whatever your soul was meant to do in this world. So it's all about connecting you to intuition and soul, to the voice of your soul, to your soulful way of doing life, of showing up in the world, and also of whatever impact and purpose, quote unquote. I don't like to use the purpose word because I feel like it's really heavy, but it's more let's talk about impact, the impact that you are, that your soul wants to bring into the now. And I feel like the impact that your soul wants to bring into the now moment that can change throughout all of the now moments, it can be one thing now, it can be one thing tomorrow, it can be one thing on the other day, and blah, 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 blah. I think that is a very it's very connected to core elements of who we are and of our story. And once I started realizing this, it's when I started developing this coaching program, which is called Your Calling in the Now, again, because I feel like once you understand who you are in a soulful level, so once you understand like your human design, once you understand your energy, once you understand your intuition, once you understand your authentic self, like your core elements of yourself that rarely change throughout your, you know, years of life, you start understanding a little bit more of the things that light you up in a soul level, not in the conditioning way of like, what should I be liking? What should I be wanting to work with? What is going to bring me money? It's like, no. So the first part of the program is all about you connecting to your authentic self, you understanding your energy, understanding your intuition, because that will be the basis for you to then bridge whatever you're gathering from the ether or from like the spiritual energetical level into the world. So how are we going to translate that into a new project, a new venture, a new content creation type, or whatever it is? Like, I have several clients that are developing several different things. One has a business, another one is going to develop a personal brand, and we didn't know that until now, because now we've gathered into the part of like, okay, this is what your intuition, this is coming through your intuition. It's not coming through me. It's not coming through her mind. It's not like, this is what you should be doing. Like, no, this is not about that. It's about finding out what is the calling of the now. And then in the second part of the program, we then actually work on the 3D reality thing. So I have a marketing background. I've worked with marketing and communication like my entire life. So we then work on marketing strategy, finding out your target audience, finding out your positioning, how to structure your content calendar, how to show up, how to structure your message, your position, everything that is like in terms of communicating it with clarity, but in the 3D world, because I found that a lot, and my focus is working with heart-led and soulpreneurs, because I found that a lot of these people, they have such a beautiful purpose and such a beautiful impact, and they are just so much led by like pure intentions, and they want to bring something in, something so beautiful, and they have so much potential. However, they are so trapped in the ether and in the like airy and in the spiritual of it all that they don't know how to bridge it and bring it into reality and how to communicate it and make people understand that. So that is something that I noticed with working in spirituality for so many years already, and it just like irritates my mind. I'm like, how does these people don't have more, are not like getting a bigger reach? Like, how are they not impacting more people? Because these are the people who should be impacting more people. These are the people that should be famous and making loads of money and, you know, being on stages and everything, not the people that some of the people that we're seeing now, you know? So I just want to really help these people bring all of the goodness that they have into the 3D in like a beautiful and comprehensible way. So this is something that was actually, so it's really interesting because as a projector, like I've always been really good in marketing and things like that. And I've also been really good in seeing people and seeing kind of like their secret sauce or like seeing the spark in them in some way. And I've also been always been obsessed about asking people about their dreams. Like if there were no limitations, no fears, you knew that you would succeed, what would be your biggest dream? Like that's the question that I used to ask on like dates and things like that. And I'm like just obsessed about asking this question because you really try this one day, you see the glimpse in people's eyes, like it changes. People's physical expression changes. It's really beautiful to watch, and I've always wanted to help people like make their dreams of the soul come true, like the dreams of no limitations, you know, the limitless dreams, I don't know. And so at some point, like because of my journey, so we barely touched on this, but I've been a digital nomad, quote unquote, for the past 2 years, almost 2 years and a half if you count the first part of my journey. And I never had like a structure in mind. So I had this intuition that I had to go travel. I received an invitation from a friend of mine that was living in Portugal, and I went, and I had 3 weeks of a plan, knowing that I would stay with her on her inflatable mattress. I wasn't making nearly a minimum salary in Portugal at the time. And everyone was like, how the fuck are you going to support yourself financially? I was like, I don't know, my intuition is guiding me. I just trust that if my intuition is guiding me, the universe won't let me down. And it has been like this for the past 2 years. And I'm sure I still have this because right now I'm living in Paris and I'm like, how the fuck am I going to afford living here? But I just keep trusting that the universe will show up. If it doesn't at some point, I don't know, I'm going to go do something else. Let's see. But for now, it just keeps showing up and just magical things keep happening. And I feel like because of that leap of faith and kind of like me just finding my way out through like being an entrepreneur and being a freelance and things like that, a lot of people, I saw that in the past 2 or 3 months, a lot of people were just coming to me saying like, I'm like quitting my corporate job and I want to go travel. How did you do it? Or, can we talk? Sometimes they didn't even ask me like, how did I do it? Or they just wanted to talk about like becoming a freelance, or they wanted to talk about like setting up a business for themselves, or they were really confused. They were in this in between of like, I want to structure a project, but I'm not sure how. But I remember there was a week that like 4 people at the same time were like sending me messages about, I'm going to go do the same thing as you. Like, I'm going to go travel and whatever. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, why do people keep asking me that? Like, I don't have anything to teach in regards to becoming a freelance. Like, really, I don't go on a Facebook group and find a client. Like, I don't know. I don't have any method for that, you know? But then I realized that there was a calling, like there was an invitation there that was about, can you please help me like live my dream life? You know, can you please help me bring something into this world that will allow me, that will give me like the vessel for me to live this dream life of like having more freedom, more flexibility and things like that, which is something that I built for myself in the past 6 years. So after kind of like hearing a lot of that as an invitation, I was like, you know what? Okay, let's just see how this goes. And for now, it's been going really well. Like, I've been seeing like my own clients manifesting clients and just so much energy moving. And right now, like before, I was doing these intuitive sessions like last year and the year before that, and I felt so drained after them because they were like 2 hour long sessions about like deep traumas and things like that, and I was like, this is not it. But every time that I finish a coaching session nowadays, I just feel like so excited and so happy and so energized, and I just feel like I'm really helping people, you know. So
yeah,
it's been really, really good. And of course I have some other projects and things like that, but always with the purpose of guiding you back to your sovereignty, to your intuition, to your soul's path, I would say.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, you've been helping me quite a bit, and we've only, you know, had a couple chats. Looking forward to the next one tomorrow.
Same.
Yeah, I could talk to you for like God knows how many more hours, but I know that you have to go. So yeah, let everyone know where they can find you on the internet or whatever.
On the internet.
On the interwebs.
You can find me on my podcast, The Blossom Experiment, in all of the major players. You can find me on my website, theblossomexperiment.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at cami.minerbo. That's my personal Instagram. So you can see what I'm up to, where I'm traveling, where I'm living, what I eat, and things like that. And then I also have my business account, which is The Blossom Experiment. So yeah, you can find me all over the place,
everywhere. Yeah. Baby, thank you so much, Kemi. I love this conversation. I know so many people are going to get amazing value from it, especially projectors. I can't wait to chat again. We'll definitely have you on sometime in the future. I just know it.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me. This was
You're
amazing.
Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Life Forces podcast. If you loved what was shared, got inspired, or took something valuable from it, I would love if you could give me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or even share this episode with a friend. I deeply appreciate it, and it really helps the podcast grow. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. To stay connected, you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Life Forces Inc. And visit lifeforcesinc.com for more information about how to work with me. Until next time, stay you.